Take your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read verses 17 through 20 together. Keep your Bibles out, we're going to use them tonight. And I want to teach you something. The title tonight is called The Gospel is Not a Mystery. The Gospel is Not a Mystery. And you'll see why I say that here in just a moment. But let's read Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to start in verse number 17. You follow along silently and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Notice that statement there. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now, somewhere along the lines, people have made Christianity spooky, mysterious. Can I tell you something? There's nothing spooky or mysterious about the Bible.
Yes, sir.
There is nothing mysterious about the gospel. There's nothing mysterious about Christianity. Now, I'm going to use this as an example, but look at the cathedrals or the churches with all of the relics and the different things. I went online, and I've been there once. How many of you ever been to the National Cathedral in downtown D.C.? All right, a few of you have. I just Googled it online. I've been there. But you talk about a spooky place. The one time I was there, when I got halfway through, I thought, man, am I glad I don't go to church here. This place is creepy. I mean, there's dozens of people buried inside the building. You know, there's nothing wrong with dead people, but I don't want to sit in church with them. You know, now some of you act like you're dead half the time, but the outside of the building. Most Catholic churches are adorned on the outside of the building with what they call gargoyles and grotesques, which are demons, evil spirits. The National Cathedral even has one that is Darth Vader. Supposedly it's to ward off the evil spirits and to show you how bad, if you don't do what the Catholic Church says, that you're going to go where the booger man is. Yeah, all right. And, you know, it's just really creepy.
Yeah. Wow.
You know, I don't know a whole lot, but I don't want to go to church where it's all spooky all the time. You know, it's just not something that I would enjoy. Now, I'm not being critical. I'm just using that as an example. I'll be critical later. The mystery of the gospel. Here in Ephesians 6, in verse number 19, towards the end there, it says, to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, the gospel itself is not a mystery. But, listen to this very carefully. The mystery of the gospel was that it was hid from the devil, so that God could use the devil to crucify Jesus. It is not a mystery to man. It was a mystery for 4,000 years so that God could use the devil to crucify Jesus. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm going to prove to you exactly what I'm talking about here. And I'll do it again later, but I want to touch this right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, look at verse number, let's start in verse number 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Now look at me. God hid what the mystery... By the way, who is the prince in power of the air?
Devil.
Who is the prince in power of the world? The devil. And these princes are those that rule and work with Satan himself. Now, listen to me. The Bible says that God hid the gospel from them so that he could use them and use the devil to empower Judas to crucify Jesus. Had they known Jesus was the completion of the gospel, the devil wouldn't have let Jesus die.
Right.
He would have never allowed it to take place. Because he didn't want anybody to get saved. So the Lord hid it from the devil and those who worked with him. And I'll get back into that here in just a little while. The devil really never understood the gospel until after the resurrection. First time he got a glimpse of the gospel was at the resurrection when he said, uh-oh, that didn't work like I thought it was going to work. You see, people in the Old Testament got saved the same way people in the New Testament get saved. I've used this before. People in the Old Testament looked ahead to what Jesus would do. That's what the temple or the tabernacle were all about. All of the different sacrifices were a picture of Jesus. The holy days and all the priesthood, it was a picture of Jesus, our high priest, paying our sin debt. It was all done in representation. Why? To hide it from the devil. Once Jesus came and fulfilled that, was crucified, buried, resurrected, he destroyed the temple, per se, with the church, fulfilled it all. Now we get saved by looking back at it. One was done by representation and word of mouth. The other has been done through the completion of the scriptures. Everybody understand that? Now, I'm going somewhere. Hang on. People have all been saved the same way. Don't take time to turn there, but if you go to Hebrews chapter 11, by faith, Adam. By faith, Abel. By faith, Noah. By faith, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, on and on and on. All of those are Old Testament. They were saved by faith. They looked ahead to Calvary. We look back. That's the only difference. Now, this is where I'm headed with it tonight. Did you know that the plan of salvation has never been a mystery to man from the first sin on? God, after Adam sinned, made them what? Coats of skin. Where did he get the skin? An animal. God sacrificed an animal in representation of what Jesus was going to do for Adam and Eve in their sin. That's what Genesis 3:15 is all about. The gospel is presented in Genesis chapter 3, verse number 15. That man, that Christ would have his heel bruised as he crushed the head of the serpent. Jesus was bruised at Calvary, and it wounded him, but he killed the devil with salvation. We whooped up on him. And Jesus and God, as they sacrificed that animal and clothed them with the skins, but there had to be shed blood for them to have that. It was a representation of salvation. All right, now, I'm going somewhere. Hang on. The mystery was how he hid it from the devil so that Jesus could be crucified. We'll get to these verses later. I was going to turn to them now, but we'll turn to them later. God wants us to get the gospel out. That's what soul winning is all about. As I taught last week, God didn't make you responsible for how someone receives the gospel. Our responsibility is to present the gospel.
That's right.
I witnessed to a man last night for an extended period of time. He did not get saved. If he dies before he gets saved, I will be sad, but I won't feel like it's my fault that he died and went to hell. I gave him the gospel multiple times. I didn't reject it. He did. I don't mean to be unkind. I'm not accountable for how he receives it. I was just accountable to make sure he got it. And that's what soul winning is all about. Now, listen to this very carefully. It's our job, or it's the job or duty of every Christian to tell people the gospel.
Yes, sir.
That's our job. It's not just the job of the preacher, or as our church grows, the church staff. It's every Christian's responsibility. Did you know soul winning wasn't just for the preacher? It's for every Christian. Now, if we're responsible to get it out, God wants it out to every person. Why would he want, if he wanted it out to every person, if God said, Rich Stoltz, you're to tell every person you meet the gospel, why would God make the gospel a mystery to everybody? He wouldn't. He wasn't making it a mystery to everybody. The mystery was how he hid it from the devil. It was a mystery hidden for 4,000 years so that God could use them to crucify Christ so that we had the gospel completed. Thank you, Brother Stoltz. Now, this is where you're going to have to listen to me. There are people who teach wrongly that God divides life or history up into different, I'm going to use a definition first, time periods or dispensations. All right, that's a big $6 word that doesn't mean anything, but different time periods. All right, the word dispensation. Okay, now I'm going to get to that in just a second here. That there are people that go so far, the Calvinists, that believe people that got saved before Abraham got saved one way, people that got saved during the time of Abraham another way, then under Moses got saved another way, then under the intertestamentary time between the New Testament and Old Testament got saved another way, during the time of Jesus got saved another way, and they get saved a different way now. There's a half dozen different ways for people to get saved. Can I tell you something? They got a hole in their head big enough to drive twin Mack trucks through and still have room on both sides. There is one gospel, one God, one way to heaven, always has been, always will be.
Yes, sir.
There are not multiple gospels.
Amen.
Now, we've tried to tone that down. Now, listen to me very carefully. Some of you are going to, it's going to prick you, so hang on, get ready, it's coming. There is no such thing as Old Testament law, New Testament grace. That's dispensationalism. That's part of this crowd that believes in a different gospel. Law means people got saved by the law in the Old Testament. Grace means you get saved by grace in the New Testament. That's what the difference between law and grace is, according to the people that teach that. Nobody ever got saved by the works of the law. By the works of the law shall no flesh be justified, Galatians chapter 2 says.
Amen.
Nobody's ever been saved by the works of the law. For by grace are you saved through faith.
That's right.
And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast.
Amen.
Now, hang in there. We now have the whole Bible as God intended us to have. God did do some things in the Old Testament that he does not do any longer because the fulfillment of the gospel, they're not needed. Let me show you what I mean. In the Old Testament, God spoke to people in an audible voice, in dreams, and in visions. God does not do that at all in the New Testament. I don't care if you dreamed last night something that you saw a 900-foot Jesus. You just had bad pizza before you went to bed. All right? Can I tell you something? God does not speak through dreams. Can I tell you why? He speaks through his word. We have the whole thing.
Amen.
He doesn't have to hide it from the devil. Amen. He spoke in representation often in the Old Testament scripture, and it was clarified through the verbal speaking by God himself. Remember Moses on Mount Sinai? God spoke to him. Brother Stoltz, come on over here for a second. Julianne, stand up over here. And Brother Stoltz, you stand near her, but not too close. All right? Now, those two could talk to one another to where nobody else could hear them. All right? I can still hear Julianne's voice, but I can't hear what she said. All right? Now, yeah, don't text. Did you know that the devil can't be everywhere all at once? He's like you and I. He can only be in one place at one time.
You're right.
So, stand up, Moses. Good night. Sit down. I need a better Moses. I need an old guy. Stand up. I got the old guy standing up. Here's God talking to the 80-year-old Moses. Well, almost 80 years old. He'll be 79 this month. God talks to Moses over here. If the devil's over there,
God's talking to Moses. He does not necessarily going to hear him.
So God was hiding it from the devil. Thank you. You all may have your seats again. Can I tell you something? The devil can't be everywhere at once. He is just like you and me. He can only be in one place at one time. So if God was talking to Moses on top of Mount Sinai, if old Smutty Face wasn't standing there, guess what? He didn't hear what was said. God could speak to people through dreams because the devil can't read your brain. He doesn't know everything. He does not know what you're thinking. He may see how you react to things. He may watch you in temptation to see if he got your attention. But he can't be everywhere at once, and he does not know what your thoughts are. So God could speak through visions, through dreams, or audibly, and the devil never heard it. He did it for 4,000 years. But when Jesus came and fulfilled it all, watch this, God doesn't need to speak audibly anymore because he already did through his word. We have it all right here. That's what the mystery was all about. Now, I got to hurry here. People got saved the same way we get saved. There's no such thing as dispensations. There's no such thing as law and grace. You ask the average person what the law means, and they mean the Ten Commandments. And we've already covered that. Ten Commandments are what kind of law? Civil law. That's government. Had nothing to do with eternity. Had everything to do with how we get along with one another. That's why they were posted in America at the courthouse, not the church house. It was civil government. Now, I got to hurry here. I got three or four things I want to give you tonight, and I think I can help you. Number one, what is a dispensation biblically? The word dispensation is used four times and four times only in the Bible. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to look at all four of these. I'm going to show you something. We're going to go to the next point. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, look at verse number 17. 1 Corinthians 9, 17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Huh. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not the power in the gospel. The word dispensation is in reference to getting the gospel out. Not a time period. I'm going to show you what the word dispensation means here in just a moment. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We were in Ephesians chapter 6, but Ephesians chapter 1, look at verse number 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood. In whom we have redemption. That's salvation, correct?
Yes.
Being redeemed through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded to usward in all wisdom and in prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Now, look at me. the dispensation of times was when Jesus came and fulfilled all that so that we could get the gospel out by soul winning. Had nothing to do with a certain time period. The only time period it was in reference to is after Jesus had fulfilled the gospel. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 3, just another page or so over, chapter 3, verse number 2. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand the in not knowledge in the mystery of Christ. That word dispensation. Colossians chapter 1, verses 25 through 29, we're not going to take time to turn there, but it talks about the dispensation. Now, the word dispensation, there is not any biblical there's not any biblical definition that involves a time frame. The word dispensation means to the administration of a household or the administration of an estate, an overseer. It literally means to disperse. Okay, how many of you were in the military or you've read something military and people would go to the dispensary? Y'all know what I'm talking about? What's a dispensary? It's a place where they give you things out. All right, usually it was medical or for your needs, for your clothing, for your bedding, for whatever. It was a dispensary where they would administrate what you got for your backpacks or whatever that you needed. That's where you got what you needed to maintain life. The root word to dispensation is the word dispense. Yeah. Has nothing to do with time. It has to do with the distribution of goods necessary for life. The gospel is necessary for eternal life. And we are in the dispensation or the distributement period, so to speak. Our job is to distribute the gospel or dispense the gospel. Those are the only four times it's mentioned in the Bible. This word has nothing to do with a period of time of history. Zero. So, it's only mentioned four times in Scripture. We read three. I gave you the fourth, Colossians 1, 25 through 29. The word dispensation means to administrate a household or an estate, to oversee or to disperse. And that's exactly what it means. So, number two, man has changed the word dispensation to mean time periods. That is a man-made definition, not a Bible definition. Okay? You say, why has man done this? Because he wants to think he's smarter than God. Man has changed his meaning, listen to this, so he doesn't have to obey God. The very people that teach law and grace and different dispensations, the Calvinists don't believe in soul winning. They believe in something called predestination, that God made everybody. He knows who's going to get saved. You can't get saved if he didn't want you to get saved. And if you didn't get saved and he wanted you to get saved, you're saved anyway. They do that so they don't have to go soul winning.
Yeah. That's messed up.
That's called bad doctrine. That's called man-made doctrine. Can I tell you something? Well, we live in the 21st century, Brother Bush. I'm glad you know what century we live in. Can I tell you something? That book hasn't changed no matter which century we're in. It hasn't changed. People get saved the same way now as they did in the days of Noah. It's the same gospel. Now, listen to me very carefully. God doesn't work differently, nor is the gospel different today than it was in any other time in history. Well, in the Old Testament, God gave them the gift of tongues. There was a time period where the gospel was getting out. By the way, if somebody's not getting saved, tongues were not used. Brother Stoltz, come on over here for a second. If I were going to preach, and Brother Stoltz and I have done this before, I would preach in English while he would preach in Spanish, and he would interpret just what I would say. I would say, for all have sinned.
Por cuanto todos pecaron.
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Están destituidos de la gloria de Dios.
For the wages of sin is death.
Porque la paga del pecado es muerte.
But the gift of God is
mas,
eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's not easy to do.
Más la dádiva de Dios es vida eterna en Cristo. Es,
now wait a minute. He's speaking in a tongue, correct? I'm speaking in a tongue. The word tongue means language, not unintelligent language either.
That's right.
It wasn't eubonics. It wasn't some heavenly
That's
language.
Right. Yeah.
By the way, thank you. The Bible says that while they preached at Pentecost, it says every man heard in his own tongue.
Sure.
I don't know, and I've seen it happen personally twice in my life. I've heard people that didn't speak English watch a preacher get up and preach in English, walk forward for salvation and get saved, and they didn't understand a word other than they could tell you in their own language, they understood every word that man said about how to go to heaven. God opened their ears to hear in their own tongue, even though they knew the person wasn't speaking their language. That is as much the gift of tongues as speaking in a different language.
Yes, sir.
Everybody got that? But by the way, we now have, good night, if you got a quote-unquote smartphone, you can get an app, you can speak into it in English, and it'll translate to any language you want and play it back to the person. I'm going to get that for Spanish for when I'm out soul winning. I'm just going to hit play. Here you go. Now, wait a minute. God doesn't work differently, nor is the gospel different. He used to speak in dreams, visions, and audibly, but not now. That was to hide the gospel from the devil. Number three, and I'll hurry. You may not know this, but you're going to run into it if you start soul winning. I've heard Baptist preachers teach this, and they're as wrong as the devil. The seven churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, where it talks about the church of Smyrna, Thyatira, Pergamos, Laodicea, Philadelphia, those seven churches. I've heard Baptist preachers get up and say those are seven church ages.
That's wrong.
That's dispensationalism taught wrongly. Don't you think that a God that could create man, a God that gave us everything we have, a God that taught us language, a God that gave everything that we know and have and taught us how to run this world, don't you think he's capable of telling us in his words exactly what he wants us to know?
Sure.
The seven churches of Asia mentioned in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, it says, unto the seven churches, not unto the seven church ages. They are not seven church ages. Can I tell you why preachers do that? Because they don't want to obey the lessons from six of the churches, one of which is soul winning. Everybody doing okay? They want to sound intelligent. They want to sound intellectual. Well, I've met a lot of smart people that are pretty stupid. Sorry, dumb. They want to use types instead of obedience. Well, brass is a type of judgment. Gold is a type of royalty. Purple is a type of this. And can I tell you something? Unless God said it was a type of something, shut up, you don't know that. One is the number of unity. Two is this number. Three is the number of the Trinity. Seven is the number of God. Six is the number of man. We know that six is the number of man because God said six was the number of man. It was the day that man was created. And that's why the Antichrist will come and his number is the number of man, 666. We know that number. Past that, God doesn't say anything else about any other number. Well, 70 is the number of judgment. Look at all the different 70s in the Bible. They're all in reference to judgment. That's not true. We want to sound smart that we can go deep into the Word of God and show you all the types. Can I tell you something? Does it matter what brass represents? Is it going to change anybody's life? No. It's useless knowledge. Now, I'm going to tread lightly here. Man, by the way, man wants to think he can tell us what God didn't say. You become an intellectual preacher when you can show things in the Bible that God doesn't even know. He didn't put them there. That's what all these types and representations, okay? Can I tell you something? And you probably know preachers, and I probably have done it in the past. I really try not to do this, but let's say that Rich's name means pretty one. Okay, I have no idea what Richard means. Do you? Supposedly?
Yeah, kingly.
Kingly. You can tell that's wrong. He's not even a house cat, let alone kingly. He reminds me of the lion with no courage. Yeah, no mane. Roof! Roof! Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? Did you know that Rich Stoltz had no ability to pick his own name? Did you know his name was picked by him, whether by somebody saved or lost? His life is not dictated by his name, meaning kingly. Thank God.
Yeah.
You may be seated. Nobody in the Bible was in control of what their own name was. Why do we put such a big deal over what this person's name means? They had nothing. They had nothing to do with it. My name was picked out either before or just after I was hatched. Now, I was about 14 before I found out my name wasn't Charlie. Because that's what my dad called me my whole life. I think I was married before I found out my mom's name wasn't George. My dad calls my mom George. That's before either of them was president, just so you know. Wait a minute. Could she live up to the name George? She does in our family, but that's all I know. We had nothing to do with our name, and their name means nothing. Quit putting such an emphasis. I know preachers that preach a whole sermon on what somebody's name means. Well, folks, they didn't have anything to do with it. Everybody doing all right? That's man thinking he knows something God didn't say.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to hit this and run. Prophecy is the same way. God gave us enough of prophecy to tell us what he wanted us to know. Past that, quit worrying about it. I know preachers have spent a whole career on prophecy, and they've been wrong on everything. I remember when Jack Van Impe said that George McGovern was the Antichrist. I remember people saying that Barack Obama was the Antichrist. He wasn't smart enough to be the Antichrist. Come on. Well, I heard that it was going to be a black man from America. Well, I don't know where you find that in the Bible, because it's nowhere.
Right.
We are so worried about things that God didn't tell us that we spend our whole life with our tails twisted trying to figure out what God didn't say. Can I tell you something? How about you worry about what God did say and focus on what he did say and don't worry about what he didn't say? I don't preach a lot of prophetic sermons. Prophecy is Jesus is coming.
Amen.
When he comes? Well, I believe it's going to be at this time. Well, God bless you. You believe it. They were believing it all the way back in Acts chapter 1 when he took off. They're standing there waiting for him to come back. God said, Matthew 4:4 and Luke 4:4, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. we have an Every Word Bible. Quit worrying about what is not in there. Just do what is in there.
Amen.
We're so wound up. Oh, this is, there's going to be this judgment and that judgment. And this is, you know, all the toes on the beast of Daniel chapter 10. You know what time frame, every vial judgment, every bowl judgment, every trumpet judgment. You know everything you think you know about that. And you're not even going to be here when it happens. Who cares? It isn't going to help anybody. Get off your backside. Go tell somebody about Jesus. Get the gospel out. Quit worrying about what hasn't happened or what God didn't say. Let's live what he did say.
That's good.
Did you know in Luke chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was tempted by the devil, he quoted scripture? He said, scripture says, it is written, scripture says. And did you know he was quoting the Old Testament? I don't like the Old Testament. It's just not as easy. Did you know it was what Jesus used to defeat the devil?
Yes, sir.
That's pretty powerful stuff. There's enough power and gospel in the Old Testament to get somebody saved.
Amen.
Moving on. I got to hurry. Let me review, and I'm done. One, a dispensation means to disperse. It's not a time frame. Number two, man has changed the word to mean time periods so that he doesn't have to obey soul winning. Everybody, listen to this very carefully. Churches that are turning to intellectualism are turning away from bus routes and soul winning. They're turning to discipleship programs. Let's quit having as many people saved, but let's make sure that we get the ones that are saved to church, train them, and let's quit focusing on getting so many saved. Let's make sure they really got it by getting them discipled. Number one, the discipleship is Bible college. Wrong word. How about growth and grace? That's what Sunday school is all about.
Amen.
Did you know Jesus won thousands of people to Christ that never followed him? You know how big the church was that Jesus started? 120 after 3 years. That's the Son of God himself. That's why he said greater works than these shall you also do. Everybody doing all right? Man wants to sound so intelligent. So they start training courses. I'm not against training people. But I'm not going to take Wednesday nights and show you step by step how to win somebody to Christ. Come soul winning, I'll put you with somebody who knows how to do it and we'll teach you one-on-one. That's how you learn to do it. I'm not against teaching it in public. And as our church grows more and more, we might have to have a class occasionally for that at a separate time. Great, no problem. But he said go into all the world and preach the gospel, not go into all the world and have discipleship programs. We want to get into the teaching aspect to get away from the soul winning aspect. You watch the churches with the big TV screens and all their intellectualism and watch how many bus routes they cut to have that. They'll cut their bus routes in half or by two-thirds. I watch them do it all the time. The mystery of the gospel was to hide it from the devil, not to hide it from man. He had to hide it for 4,000 years so that the devil and his followers would crucify Jesus so that we had the completion of the gospel. There's no such thing as a dispensation as far as a church age or a time. Well, we're in the church age. Dispensationalism. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Look out. We've allowed bad doctrine to infiltrate us. You have all you need right there. Quit worrying about what it doesn't say. How about we just do what it does say?
Amen.
Well, what are we going to do in heaven? Read the Bible and tell you. Past that, don't worry about it. Sorry, if you needed to know that, God will let you know. If not, wait till you get there to make it more fun. Well, I think, okay, I'm glad you think, but it's not in there. Doesn't matter. That's why when I'm preaching, sometimes I'll say, here's my opinion. If you disagree with me, it's okay. I'll let you know when it's an opinion. This is not an opinion. That's the word of God. It's all you need. Don't worry about it.
Amen.
That's a fact. Well, I just don't see it that way. Doesn't matter how you see it. It's how God wrote it.
Amen.
It's really that simple. We need to take God at face value as what he said. And that's how we get the gospel out. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done.